I'm going to begin with verse number 1, but we're going to actually begin the message in verse number 9. We're not going to deal with the first parable. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint means not to lose heart. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? And when we look at that last verse, shall he find faith on earth, the context of the passage is prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart. And coupled with prayer is faith. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? And then he begins another parable. And of course, remember, he's talking about an unjust judge, a man that wasn't willing to do what he was supposed to do according to Old Testament law, and that's avenge that widow. He finally did. Well, when we call upon our God, we don't have to beg him, and we don't have to wonder, is he going to help us? Because our God is a just judge. And he is always available for the child of God. And he will avenge his elect, those that are saved. In verse 9, the Lord began another parable. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. We pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray for your wisdom. Pray for physical strength. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to my heart and the hearts of each one here this morning. And again, if there's one here without the Savior, one without hope of eternal life, one who does not know for sure that when this life is over, they'll be in your presence, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, grip that heart and bring that one to saving faith before it's too late. And Father, we pray that you would use this in the hearts of each of us as we look within our own hearts, examine our own lives, examine our own faith to make sure indeed it's not a self-righteous faith, but a true saving faith. And we'll thank you for what you accomplish, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to hold your place here in chapter 18 and turn back, if you would please, same book, book of Luke, chapter 10. I want us to look at just one verse in chapter 10, in verse number 29. Chapter 10 and verse number 29. If you recall, the lawyer that came to Christ and asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? in verse number 29, the Bible says, but he willing to justify himself. You see that? He willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So he knew he hadn't been doing what the Lord required him to do. And so he tried to justify himself to no avail. Then look at chapter 16, Luke 16, verses 14 and 15. Luke 16, verses 14 and 15. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, lovers of money, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which, there it is again, justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For he that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. It's a sin for a Christian to measure his worth by his riches, isn't it? That leads us then to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go through the Gospels, through the book of Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and you'll come to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, Paul writing, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us, by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So Paul writes that God is in control of trials. He writes that God enables us to bear our trials. God delivers us from our trials, and God is glorified in our trials. So the idea is, if we trust God, if we believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, we also understand that it's impossible to trust ourselves, especially in the areas of justification or salvation. Justification, in its simplest definition, is to be declared righteous in the eyes of a holy God based upon faith in the finished work of Christ upon the cross. In other words, no one can be justified in and of themselves. There is no flesh justified by works. It must be faith, believing God, taking God at his word. So with that in mind, let's look at this parable in Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse number 9. And the Lord had a plan. When he gave this parable, it makes it very clear in verse 9. He said, the Bible says, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised or looked down upon or had contempt on others. We know in Isaiah 64, in verse number 6, the Bible says, but we are all as an unclean thing. Now this is describing every human being before salvation. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That makes it very, very clear that until we come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, everything we try to do to justify ourselves, to make ourselves look good in the eyes of other people, trying to appear holy, trying to appear righteous, is impossible without Christ. All of our righteous, even things we do that in and of themselves are good, if we do them in the energy and the power of the flesh, they are unacceptable to a holy God apart from Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 30, verse 12, and this describes our generation, I believe, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. Every single human being has faith in something or someone. And we either understand our lack of ability to save ourselves and to be acceptable in the eyes of a holy God, or we somehow or another think, like many of the Pharisees did, that they in and of themselves, because of what they did and the traditions they held to and the fact that they added things to the traditions that they themselves sometimes would live up to, often they didn't, expected everybody else to, but they thought somehow they could gain favor from God by doing these things. In chapter 16 and verse 15, he said unto them, ye are they, and he's talking about the Pharisees. I think we read this verse. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. And that's the key. God knows our hearts. We can pretend. We can try to impress people. We can even try to fool our family. But God knows our hearts. He knows whether we have been justified through faith in the blood of Jesus or whether we're trusting in some kind of human merit or human works. God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. There are many that are involved in all kinds of religious activities. But religious activities apart from God is not acceptable in the eyes of God. As a matter of fact, the words that our Lord, these are strong words. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You don't get any stronger language than that. And so there are many that try to impress God by certain things they do without an acknowledgement before God. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I fall short of your glory. I know your word says that there's none that do good, no, not one. And you know something? We're all in the same boat, aren't we? We're all born in sin. Ephesians 2:2 says we are dead in trespasses and sin. It all started with Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God and they ate of that fruit. And of course they lied about it and especially Eve did the blame game, and then Adam did, well, you gave me the woman. It's your fault. I was fine by myself. Which would have been a lie. Well, let's look at this parable. We can learn a lot. We can learn a lot about ourselves if we open up our hearts this morning. And hopefully we don't fall in the category of the Pharisee. Oh, by the way, Pharisees. The Pharisees were considered the religious experts of the day. They would have been the fundamentalists of the day. The Pharisees began after Maccabee. I think his name was Judas, right? First name, Maccabee. During the intertestamental period, between the Old and the New Testament, it's often called the 400 silent years, because God didn't speak through a prophet during those years until John the Baptist came on the scene. And so that's when the Pharisees came into being, and they stuck to tradition, to the letter. They weren't too concerned about the spirit of the law. They were concerned about the letter of the law, and they would add restrictions. Because they love to be seen in their holy garments. They love to be seen in prayer. At the three times of prayer, they would make sure that someone heard them or saw them. And that's exactly what happened here. Here's this Pharisee going up to the temple to pray. Now, the publican was a tax collector. The tax collectors were appointed by Rome. So guess what the Jews thought about the tax collectors? They hated their guts. The tax collectors often were guilty of embezzlement. They were guilty of being unjust in their tax collection. So what they would, I guess embezzlement wouldn't be the right word. Extortion, that'd be a better word, wouldn't it? What they did is whatever money above what was required of them to collect that they could collect was theirs. So they'd often cheat and they would charge too much. And the Jews hated them. So I'll guarantee you the Pharisee and the publican didn't skip alongside each other up to the temple to pray. No, the Pharisee went in to the temple proper. He was there, you know, where the Jews were, and the publican probably was outside of the, definitely wasn't up there with the Pharisee, probably, if anything, in the court of the Gentiles, but he was a distance away from the Pharisee. And I want you to notice the difference in not just the words, but the heartbeat of these men. Because this is critical. You know, the Pharisees are still alive in churches today. Did you know that? Those that have a very high opinion of themselves and look down their nose at other people in the church, those are Pharisees. Just like the Pharisees in the Bible that thought they'd get away with it, so today folks do as well. But they won't. Judgment Day is coming. Two men, very different. Yet the spiritual needs were the same. They both needed to be saved. They were both lost at this point, right? Pharisee had the outer garments and had all the religious talk and knew how to pray flowery prayers. He knew how to be religious. He knew how to impress men, but yet he was lost, even though he was outwardly righteous. Maybe the Pharisee didn't steal, but he coveted. Maybe he didn't commit adultery, but he lusted in his heart. Maybe he didn't kill somebody physically, but he had hatred toward people in his heart, and so murdered them in his heart. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. The Lord wrote that or said that, and it was written on purpose. Because I want you to notice something about this so-called prayer. It wasn't a prayer. Was it? Now, he did start out, I thank thee. Okay? But then what? Look what he says. He stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Thank you that I am not anything like other people. Implying, of course, that I am superior. I am a spiritual giant. I am so good. I can't get over myself. And so he prayed. So he thought it was a prayer. He said, I'm thankful that I'm not an extortioner. I'm not a robber. I'm not a swindler. No doubt he had that publican in his mind, you know, the one collecting taxes and no doubt collecting more than he should have. Remember Zacchaeus, that wee little man? The wee little man was he, climbed up in the sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. He was a tax collector and he was a cheat and he admitted it. He said, I'm a cheat and I'm going to pay back four times. I mean, he did double what the law required. He gave back with great interest because he was cheating people. Many of the publicans did. This guy no doubt did. And the Pharisee knew it. So the Pharisee said, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men are. I'm not like that publican over there. I don't extort people. And I'm not unjust in my heart or my life. I am righteous. That guy over there no doubt is not, but I am. I'm not an adulterer. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm not as this publican. Now, I want you to think of something here. This man, and we got to be careful of this, because we can end up in the same boat. This man was so full of himself, he was empty of God. Right? He was so full of himself, he was empty of God. We've got to be careful that we don't get so full of ourselves, we think we're so superior that somehow or another we're heads and heels above everybody else. And one thing that God hates in Proverbs chapter 6 gives you seven abominations. One of them are lofty eyes, a haughty look. A haughty look means I'm better than you and you're going to see it on my face. The Apostle Paul, writing about his burden regarding his Jewish brothers, in Romans 10, 1 through 4, he said this, said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Sounds like the Pharisees. Some of them had a zeal for God. Some of them knew what they were doing. They were play actors. That's what Pharisee, the Lord often called them, hypocrites. Read Matthew 23. Read what the Lord said about the scribes and the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. No doubt, we know from God's word that there were Pharisees that were not hypocrites. The one who, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a Pharisee, was not a hypocrite. There were this one recorded in the book of Acts. There were good Pharisees. Nicodemus was an unlearned Pharisee. He should have known a lot more than he did, but he was a godly man, Nicodemus. Anyway, the rest of verses 1 through 4, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh, excuse me, I missed a part. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness and going about to have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So they were trying to establish their own righteousness. You know, we're Jews. We have received the oracles of God. We are God's chosen people. And so therefore, we're better than the Gentiles. And we should go to heaven based upon who we are, not based upon our faith in Christ. Paul said, no, the Jews have, many of them have a zeal of God, but not according to righteousness. They're going about to establish their own way to heaven. Now, no doubt there are many in our day that are trusting in various religions, trusting in various works, oftentimes still today. I'll talk to somebody about their salvation, and they'll immediately say, yeah, I was baptized when I was 14 or whatever. Baptism does not save. Water doesn't wash away sin. For the child of God, we are baptized after salvation. Why? Because it's a picture. It's an outward expression of an inward reality. Go down under the water. We're saying publicly, I believe Christ died for me and was buried. We come up out of the water, I believe that Christ rose from the dead. Paul adds, even so walk in newness of life. So it doesn't add to salvation, doesn't make us more saved. Lord's Supper, there's some that believe, if you take the Lord's Supper, you receive grace from God. No. It's a picture of Christ's death. We remember his death. We remember his suffering until he comes back. Constantly reminds us that we're saved not by our own merit or worth, but because of our Savior and his shed blood. Well, the Pharisee is not really praying. He's doing a little dissertation of his goodness before God. Boy, thank you, God. I don't know, like the rest of these people. Man, you know what? I am special. I give tithes of all. I fast twice in the week. And I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, in the Old Testament, oil, wine, cattle, I'm missing one, grain, I think. Those were all tithes. You tithe on those. There were other things you tithe. There was a temple tax and other things. But generally, you tithe on those things. And then you could give free will offerings as well. Well, the Pharisee said, I tithe on everything. Somebody gives me, 10 heads of grain. Or no, that's not even say grain. If somebody gives me a couple of changes of clothes, I'm going to give some to God. Everything, I tithe everything. I'm so spiritual. He said, when I get my tax refund, even though I've tithed on that before I got the refund, I tithe on that too. I tithe on everything. I'm sure God was impressed, don't you? But then you have the publican. And he's standing afar off. He's standing at a distance. His head bowed. Would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven. But smote upon his breast, which was a sign or a picture of deep remorse over sin. He knew what his spiritual condition was. In Psalm 51, verse 17, the psalmist David writes, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah 57, in verse number 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the holy, high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, Paul writes, for godly sorrow, that's the beginning of repentance, it's not the end. Godly sorrow. Remember when Judas betrayed the Lord for those pieces of silver, he went back, he threw them at the feet of the priests, remember? It was too late. And he did not repent. The word, when you see in the Bible, it talks about Judas repenting, it means he had remorse. It's a totally different word than change of mind, repentance. I think it's metanoia, is change of mind. He just had, he just, I got caught kind of thing. Oops, sorry, got caught. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. So Judas had regret. Regret doesn't save. Regret, it can lead to repentance, which is a willingness to turn from my way and go God's way and believe the gospel message in order to be saved. So the publican smote his breast, would not lift his eyes to heaven. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Excuse me. It's drainage. It starts draining, I start coughing. So the publican, I got somebody else coughing. I tell you, verse 14, after, of course, the man saw his true condition, this publican, the Lord said in verse 14, this man went down to his house justified. This man. The one that smote his breast, the one that wouldn't lift his eyes toward heaven, the one that acknowledged his lostness before a holy God, his inability to save himself, he cast himself at the mercy of God and cried, have mercy on me, God be merciful to me, a sinner. So what's the difference between the publican and the Pharisee? Biggest difference is attitude. The biggest difference is an admission of guilt. An admission of being lost and unable to save himself. He said, for everyone that exalts himself. Pharisees had that habit of exalting themselves. The publican, the opposite. He said, everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Only one of these men prayed. And that prayer made it to the ears of God. The other one recited how good he was. And that never made it to heaven. The Pharisees' pride condemned him. The Pharisees' pride condemned him. Excuse me again. So which one describes you? Is it the Pharisee? Or the publican? Paul wrote in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace. Being justified freely by his grace, unmerited favor of God. None of us deserve to be saved through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the ground of salvation. It's the basis. We are justified by his blood. We are justified by crying out to a holy God, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm willing to turn from my sin. I'm willing to repent and believe with all my heart that you love me enough to send your son to die upon a cross to pay my sin debt in full. And the best way I know how, I receive him as my Savior and Lord. Come into my life. Save me, Lord. Wash away my sins in your blood. And you know what he'll do? If you mean it from the heart, he'll do just that. If you're here this morning and you've never been born from above, I think today would be a great day. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, as we have a time of invitation, you come. Child of God, we can easily develop into, after we're saved a while, we think we know so much, we can have an attitude of superiority and become a Pharisee in our actions. And God is never pleased with that, is he? So let's stand and have a word of prayer. And we'll sing Invitation, page 450. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the parable of the Pharisee and the publican that reminds us that we don't deserve salvation. We're not worthy. But because of your mercy, because of your grace, we have the means of salvation through Christ and his shed blood. Lord, if there's someone here that cannot say with assurance, if I were to die today, I'd be in your presence, Lord. Give them the courage to come. Say, Pastor, I need Jesus. And Father, I pray for Christians. Oh, how easy it is to develop into that attitude of superiority, where we even begin to look down upon those who you've called us to try to lead to Jesus. So, Father, bless this invitation. May your will be done, and may you be glorified. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.